me. I just met Sandra about half an hour ago, so you'll see the background, a summary of the life story of Sandra and Jeff in the bulletin, if you'd like to look into that. Jeff, Sandra's husband, has preached at Knox before, but it's a real pleasure to welcome you also, Sandra. And I don't know how you feel about the podium being here, but would you like me to center? Is it okay here?
I don't use it.
Oh, you don't use it? Okay. Oh, would you like me to move it?
No.
Okay, we'll just leave it right there. Yeah. So Sandra and Jeff are going to be preaching here over the next 4 weeks, dividing up the pulpit ministry, as we sometimes call it. And we'll have more to say about them in coming weeks. But for now, let me pray for Sandra and pray for all of us that we would hear God's word tonight. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you that you speak to us. We pray that you give us ears to hear what you have to say. We pray that you would give Sandra the words that she needs to convey to us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and empower those words. We pray that we would learn now in a spirit of humility, that we'd be open to what might come into our minds, to our hearts. We pray that you would teach us through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Going to hear a story from the life of Jesus. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except the Father alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, and honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all of these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Can you picture the moment? That awkward silence? We were singing some pretty dangerous words up here, you know. Did you note them? Did you hear them? "Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone." Very dangerous words to be singing to a God who's desperate to hear those promises. What's the story that we read just read called? Usually, what do we refer to it as? You can say it out loud. You can speak. Do you speak out loud? No. I didn't mean that. I know you all speak, but I don't know if it's usual in church to. You can say something out loud. What's this story called? Rich Young Ruler. Rich Young Ruler. Yes. And as we read that story, I hope you feel the intensity of his desire. I don't think he was shamming here. I don't think he was frauding any more than any of us when we were just singing those beautiful songs. Did you mean those songs as you were singing them? Yeah. We offer up these promises to God. "Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone." And then there's this awkward silence. As God says, "Really? That's amazing. That's wonderful. Let me tell you now what we're going to do together." And then the awkward silence. And unfortunately, there will be those of us here tonight that after the silence is over, we will turn and we will walk away and we will be sad. And we'll sort of wish in our hearts that perhaps we didn't sing those songs and make those promises. Because whether you like it or not, whether you own the title, and I'm sure if this man was called the rich young ruler, he would have said, no, don't call me that. We are the rich young rulers. Did you know that? The very fact that you are in this place, in this country, at this time, makes you in about 20% compared to the rest of the world. We are, in this country, the rich, I'll own young if I can, rulers. Now, as I've traveled the world, there have been a lot of interesting studies done on what actually constitutes poverty. What makes one poor, and thus what makes one rich? And in this story, I really don't want you to miss the point and make it all about money, because money is important. But this story isn't primarily about money. It's about the fact that this young man had everything. That's why they called him rich. But most of all, as this story tells us, what really made him rich was that he had a choice. And if you go around the world, you can measure poverty and its correlate, richness, in accordance with the choice that people have. Let me give you an example. I spent many years in Russia, living in Russia. It's an amazing country, and I loved it very much. But I remember walking into a bread store one day, and they have incredible bread in Russia. So I was a bit excited, and I walked into the bread store, and I looked, and I didn't really see anything on the shelves. And I said, "What is there available?" And he said, "We have white bread, we have black bread." And I said, "Okay, can I have some black bread?" And he said, "We don't have any." And I said, "Okay, can I have some white bread?" "We don't have any." And I said, "So what are my choices?" And he said, "You don't have any." And I walked out of the store. And this was not uncommon. Okay, let's fast forward to me getting kicked out of Russia, unfortunately, ending back in Canada very unexpectedly, having to leave all my family and friends and everything suddenly in Russia, and I'm back in Canada. And I walk into No Frills. And I actually thought I was doing pretty well with this whole transition thing. Until all I had to do was go and pick out a loaf of bread. And I walked into No Frills and I stood in the bread department and I thought of that conversation. We have white bread and we have black bread. You don't have any choices. And I was paralyzed. I was suddenly paralyzed. Do you know how many breads there are? How many different kinds of breads you can get in No Frills? Take a shot in the dark. I counted them just for this evening. No, you obviously shop at Metro. They don't have 100 at No Frills. How many?
47.
47. That's really, really close. Now, maybe I didn't count everything, and I didn't count those ones that are in those little things that you take the tongs, so maybe there might be 47. But I counted around 38. 38 choices of bread. And I was paralyzed. And I was standing there, and I suddenly started to cry because I was overwhelmed by choice. We are the rich young rulers. You wake up in the morning, wow, do you ever have a lot of choices? Do you know how many different kinds of toothpaste you can brush your teeth with in the morning? Apparently, there's 78 different types of toothpaste out right now. 78. That's a lot of choices that early in the morning when your eyes aren't even open, right? 172 different types of tea, Consumer Reports tell us. You walk into the kitchen, paralyzed by choice again. But in many ways, it's not these little material things that really paralyze us. A lot of you are probably in school right now, yeah? Studying at degrees, making life choices. Anybody here ever feel paralyzed by the choices that are available to you? Had an interesting thing happen to me when we were working in Chechnya in the refugee camps there. I was accompanying an American man who was a donor, and I was translating for him in the camps. And so we were going around to our school's programs, and we were looking at the work that the kids were doing, and there was this little 8-year-old boy, and he was doing this picture. And the American gentleman walked over, and he said, "Tell me about..." And he was going to say, "Your picture," until suddenly he saw that the boy was drawing these people with arms off and bombs exploding and shooting people. And the boy was probably about 8 or 9. And so he froze mid-question, and he looked a bit panicked, and he said, "Tell me what you want to be when you grow up." I translated the question, and the boy looked at me, and he said, "Alive." And yet we, the rich young rulers, we have so many choices. What career should I choose? What path will leave my options open? Now, I'm not saying all of this, so you're sitting in your seat sort of, "Oh, I feel so guilty." That's not the point. Do you remember in the story when this young man came to Jesus? How did Jesus look at him? He looked at him and he loved him. Guys, this is the grace of God poured down on us, and most of us did not choose to be here. We didn't choose to be born here. We didn't choose to be living in Canada. We didn't choose to have all these choices showered down upon us. And God is looking at you and he's loving you right now. But one thing you lack, one thing we lack, we who have everything. It's always been the way, hasn't it? Right from the beginning of time, God gave us everything. He put us in the garden, and everything was available to us. Everything. And then he gave us the last gift. And he said, "You can have it all, but you can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And there it was, held out to us. This incredible gift of choice. One thing you lack. One thing I'm asking you to make a choice on. And we know the choice that was made. And unfortunately, once that was broken, this gift, this incredible gift of choice, became a really, really heavy burden a lot of the time. And if you trace the sources of most of the injustice in the world, it comes down to a simple matter of math, and us not quite getting it right. Anybody study math here? You are a brave soul. Thank you for admitting it. Come forward. Come on forward. Come. I saw a few hands sort of going like this. I know, I don't really get math.
I used to study math.
You used to? Do you remember it? Okay, it's okay. He remembers it. He remembers what he studied. Do you have any friends here?
No friends. yeah, there's lots of people here.
Okay, choose three people, any three people. They don't have to be your friends.
Those are Steve and Jesse and Rochelle.
Excellent. Steve, Jesse, Rochelle, come on up here. We're just going to do a really simple math thing. And if you're thinking this is so childish, it is. And because it's so childish, There's candy involved. Who's who? You're Steve, Jesse, Rochelle. Excellent. So you do the math. We've got 10 candies here. 5 to you. It's okay. Turn around. You can smile at people. 3 to you. Oh, 2 to you. There we go. The math is quite simple. We've got 4 people. Oh, we need one more person. Quick. Come on up here, Alyssa. Stand there. It's so straightforward, isn't it? Turn around. Smile. Who's feeling sad right now? I hate candies, he says. Sorry, I just lost my Britney Spears mic. There we go. How simple would this be? You did the math. Can you fix this problem for us, please? You're not a math student.
He's just as good as a math
student. Oh, is he? Okay, okay. We'll trust him then. How simple was that? Now we're all happy. Everyone has 2. Let's give them applause. Whoops, sorry. You don't want them? You can give them to people. You'll make new friends. We all rack our brains over this question of injustice. We look around at our world and we say, why, God, why, God? And so often, God just looks down at us and says, do the math. Do the math, please. It didn't take a math expert to figure that problem out. And I know that there's all these other influences, politics and economics and all these other things. But I really believe that God's asking us in so many situations in our life, just like this young rich young ruler, to just do the math. So let's look at it. Jesus Christ, who has all the choices in the world, all the choices in the world, he doesn't use those choices to figure out how he can actually get more choices. But that's the paradigm we live in, isn't it? We always look at how to keep our options open, how we can get more. What do the banks tell you? You've got a lot of money? Excellent, invest it so that you can make more. You're going to have even more money, folks. What do your parents tell you when you're choosing a career? Make sure you choose something that's going to give you lots of options. So you've got lots of options in studying, and it's going to even give you even more options. And we rake them in, and we rake them in, until suddenly we've got so much and so many choices. But the kingdom of God is all backwards. And here's this rich young ruler, and he's coming to Jesus, and basically he's saying, right down to the morality questions, guys, I've got it all. I've got it all. And then Jesus says, actually, go back and check your math. Because there is one thing that you're missing. You who have it all. There's one thing that you haven't quite got, and that's my math. My math that says, I love you, and I have blessed you. And Jesus Christ, you know the grace of Jesus Christ. Yes? That's what Paul says to us. You know the grace of Jesus Christ. We've all experienced it. Who, although he was rich, not just rich in stuff and money, although he was rich in choice, he could do anything he wanted, for your sake became poor. So that through his poverty, you might become rich. That's my math, says Jesus. My math is, if you've got it all, there's only one thing you're missing then. The gift, remember it? Because God didn't just give us the gift of choice. When he blessed us and poured his grace into his life, he didn't just suddenly create choice for us who had no choice. He even gave us this incredible privilege because of his grace and his love to then say, now, I'm going to give you this incredible opportunity to be choice creators. When people ask me what I do, I tell them I'm a minister. And sometimes people say, wow, so what does a minister do? You know what I get to do? I get to create choice for people. For people who had no choice, because I've been so incredibly blessed, I get to create choice for people. And God, by his grace, has given me that incredible privilege. And so, there's a lady, Mrs. Lee. And I used to visit Mrs. Lee. Let me tell you about Mrs. Lee. I'm not quite sure of her age. Nobody's quite sure of her age. Because when she was dropped off at the seniors' home, at the government seniors' home, her family didn't really have any documents for her. And the words that they said as they dropped her off, according to the nurse, were, call us when she dies. Mrs. Lee cannot see. Mrs. Lee cannot hear. Mrs. Lee doesn't speak English, even if she could hear. And so Mrs. Lee sits in a room day in, day out. She's in a wheelchair. She can't stand up. She can't walk. This is a woman without choices. And when I go and visit Mrs. Lee, I can see. I can hear. I can walk. So these incredible choices I have of what I want to see and what I want to hear and where I want to go, I bring to Mrs. Lee. And although she maybe can't see, she can feel. And I take her into the hall, and I take her hand, and I help her feel plants, and I help her feel my hand and my arms. And when Mrs. Lee is tired, she has a choice. And she just simply takes her hand off my arm. And that tells me that she's choosing now to go back to her room. Isn't it incredible how simple it is? Just as easy as the candies up here. If you have choice, then God says, one thing you lack, only one thing. Go and take the choices you have and create choices for others. You know the grace of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, who, being rich, the ultimate rich young ruler, became poor so that through his poverty we could become rich. We could make this a question of money, and maybe for some of us it should be a question of money. The interesting thing is, when you are sharing money or time or anything, please remember that word, grace. There's nothing that upsets me more in my setting, which is Regent Park, when I see people interacting with homeless people. And there's no grace there. They may give, but they almost give as a punishment, a slap in the face, as if they didn't know the grace of God and realize how fortunate they were actually to have $10 in their pocket. And I've heard people say, as they reason this out with me, I was with a friend and a guy was asking for some bus fare home. And my friend gave the person a loonie. And I said, oh, I think I've got some extra money. And she hit me and she said, don't give him any extra money. He's going to drink. I said, he needs bus fare. You can't get on a bus with a loonie. He's just going to drink it away. That's not grace, guys. That's not grace. There's this beautiful verse in James, and it says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all. Can anybody finish the verse for me? Without finding fault. That's grace. The grace of God is that he showered blessings upon us, knowing full well that most of us were going to squander them away. That's the nature, the incredible, horrible risk of grace. He showers it upon us, knowing he's going to drink it away. That's the way God wants us to be giving. That's the way God wants us to be sharing. And as you use your choices to create choice for other people, people who are broken, people that aren't used to having choices, I guarantee you that many of the choices you create by giving away choices that you have will be wasted. And yet, Jesus Christ never, ever, ever gives up on us when we waste his choices of grace. He doesn't withhold from us, knowing that we're probably going to muck it up. That's the nature of the giving God wants us to do, generously, without finding fault. If God's encouraging you to give, then he says, I want you to give without expecting a return on your investment. Because sometimes there will be those glorious moments when there's a smile, when there's a thank you, when someone will actually appreciate the choice that you've created for them. But the nature of grace says it's inherent in the giving. The joy, the satisfaction. And so we as the people of God are called to be choice creators. I live amongst heroes. Some of them are with me here tonight. You can meet them afterwards. Heroes who actually at one point in their life heard Jesus say, one thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have, and I'm going to give you the incredible privilege of living amongst people who have very, very few choices. And so they did. They actually moved into a neighborhood that has bad real estate value. Imagine, how foolish is that? They live in buildings that are not going to give them a lot of return for their options. When they pay their rent, the elevator is still not guaranteed to work. The urine is not going to be cleaned up in the stairwells, okay? And they're giving their lives to jobs where they're not going to be able to get RRSPs at the end of it, guys. Because if they get salary that month, thank God, they got it. Why would you do something that foolish? Because in our neighborhood, Johnny doesn't have a lot of choices on Saturday. Except watching TV, eating junk food, sitting there listening to really loud, awful music. But then suddenly, someone who had a lot of choices as to what they were going to do on Saturday shows up at his door and says, hey, want to go to a ball game? Want to just hang out for a while? Choice. Where there was no choice. Created by someone who had a lot of choice and could very well have said, Saturday's my only day off. I study hard all week. I'm really tired. You have that choice. Johnny doesn't. But suddenly he does. This is what it means to be the people of God. And this is, unfortunately, the hard responsibility as the rich young ruler. And tonight, Jesus is looking at us and he's loving every one of you. And he's simply saying, thank you for your eagerness, your desire to serve. Just one thing you lack. Use the incredible amount of choices you have and go out, create choice for my children who don't really have a lot of choices anymore. Come, follow me. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who being rich became poor for their sakes, so that we could become rich.